Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 191 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve, and we're going to recap this week's nerd news. We're going to begin in entertainment with some quick movie reviews from the movies that have come out since we've been taking our holiday break, discuss a new show coming to Disney+, a delay to the Morbius movie, and then move over into a little bit of tech, where, of course, we'll talk a little bit of crypto and NFTs, the fate of BlackBerry, and some autonomous vehicles before we get into a little bit of space talk. Lots to get to. Let's get started.
Calling back all nerds.
Nerds!
All right, and we are here with episode 191 after a good couple weeks off for some needed break for holiday time, specifically for me as I was traveling a bunch during that time.
Yeah, we went hard for 2 years consistent, yeah. Like holding ourselves up to a very high standard of fuck that we're not missing a week. And we needed a break.
Yeah. So we took a little hiatus. We're going to have to take another one here as I'm going to be not available at all for a couple weeks, but then we'll get back on a weekly schedule. But we figure while we got some time, let's get caught up on some nerd news here. And, you know, we can jump into, I guess, where we'd normally start an episode, and that's some movie reviews. And we've got a few that have come out since we've been on hiatus.
Yeah, we can't skip the one movie that you also see. Like, it's very rare that you go see movies. So any one that we have both seen that we can have an actual discussion on, I don't give a fuck if it was a month ago. We got to talk about that one.
All right, and let's do it. So I did go see Spider-Man on the day that it released.
And just to let y'all know, it's been long enough. I'm going to say whatever the fuck I feel like. If you ain't seen it yet, go ahead, skip ahead, start the over episode later. Don't listen to us. Shut us off. I don't give a fuck. Like, I am not holding back on this part anymore.
Yeah. So there's the spoiler disclaimer. I feel like it doesn't even matter anymore. Like, every headline that talks about these, I think the actors who were, you know, the secrets to come out there in it, they've been openly doing interviews on like night talk shows and stuff like that, talking about their participation in the movie. Like, everything's out there.
Yeah, so it's your fault, not ours.
But
so how do you like it?
No, I loved it. I thought it was great entertainment. I think that the whole multiverse stuff is just weird. But I think that they actually made it work
in
a way.
It's fun weird,
yeah. And they made it work in a way that wasn't cheesy, wasn't too terrible. It paid, you know, homage to the old characters and stuff like that. Like, and they brought in people in just a way that was kind of an interesting storyline.
Yeah.
And they also wrapped it up that I don't feel like it's all just fucking blown up from this point on.
Yeah, no, they were able to, like, you know those like plastic ball things that are like the size of a softball, and then you pull it out and it gets really fucking big, and then, yeah, then it goes back in. That's kind of like what the whole movie was, and they were able to suck it back in towards the end. I do like with them getting all the actors that the one story I heard was basically to get Jamie Foxx to do it. All they had to do was tell him that he wasn't going to be blue.
It's like, I'm in.
It's like, all right, cool. I'm in.
Yeah. He definitely played more of a Jamie Foxx role in this one than he did in the previous. Like,
he was way better in this one than
he's not even the same one as
he was way better
the previous
in this one.
Movie.
I was a little let down by Toby, though. Like, I really didn't feel like he put a lot of effort into it. It didn't, like, he almost acted like, this is what I didn't like about it. He almost acted like they pulled him fresh out of like the Spider-Man 3 movie, not 20 years later, and he looks like a 20 years later
he sure
Peter
looks
Parker.
20 years later
like, he fucking looks like a 20 year later Peter Parker, and he just kind of like he didn't embody like a more mature Peter Parker. It felt like he was a mature Peter Parker trying to play a younger Peter Parker. It just didn't come off right to me. Felt like very phoned in. I thought Andrew Garfield did a really good job. Like, I liked his whole, you know, what he brought from his Spider-Man role to the movie. I don't know if Toby just aged out of it and just couldn't pull it off, but every scene he was in, I was just like, come on, man. Like, give me something. You know, like,
I did find him awkward.
Toby at some point. Like,
I did find him awkward at times in the movie. I didn't find it all that distracting, but I, I did get that feeling. There were just looks he gave and the way he acted that I just thought seemed odd. But I mean, ultimately, I thought it was, again, a wildly entertaining movie that just really kind of captured, I think, what they were trying to do with the multiverse. It did all the fan service in the world that they could do for Spider-Man fans or whatever else. And then they shut everything down in the end where it doesn't seem like, you know, the whole MCU is broken based off of what happened in this movie. But they get to reset kind of the Peter Parker storyline where everybody doesn't know who he is. He can go back to being, you know, they carry on the next Spider-Man movies as the anonymous Spider-Man. Nobody knows who he is. He's doing all the struggles of being the alone superhero and all that stuff, the traditional Spider-Man stuff. So they reset that portion, but the rest of the MCU, I think, is still fully intact.
How do you like them, like, immediately retconning Tom Hardy Venom back to Tom Hardy Venom universe? Like oh, did you think you were gonna see Tom Hardy in an MCU? Like, no, we're sending him back. We're gonna leave a little speck of symbiote here so that
we're gonna get our own Venom that can actually act. Like, and the Venom that we're gonna leave behind here, it's not gonna be buddy cop. Like, it's just they were gonna actually do a normal Venom.
I just love they were like, oh, you thought he was gonna be in this? Like, go back to your home.
They said, go back to Sony. Go back to Sony, you son of a bitch. Like,
I do
Marvel's
like
not that paying for you.
Campaign to get a third movie for Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man. Like, every Spider-Man is a trilogy. Like, he's only got two. And like I said, I thought he did a good job coming in. I thought the storyline of him saving Mary Jane and, like, getting redemption for Gwen dying, I thought that was great. Like, that just played out really fucking great. I don't know. Like, I'm on that team. Like, yeah, give him his fucking third movie, man. Like, let's do it. Like, I'm down.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, the only complaint I had about the movie is it's more my problem, I guess. I think it's society's problem. But I cannot see movies on opening night.
The clapping and everything.
Oh, my God. Oh, there's just so much in this movie. There was so much fan service in this movie. And every single reveal that people knew was coming. Like, there were no secrets.
No, not all of them. Nah, there was true. One There's that came some. That almost had me giddy like a little fucking teenager. Like, when Matt Murdock was sitting there, I was super pumped. Like, I'm not going to lie.
That was the only unexpected one. Like, everybody else, I think you did.
Yeah, everybody else you kind of expected. Coming, right? So why are we clapping? Like, you didn't know this was coming.
But the claps and the claps and the screaming, let's go, and all that stuff. The problem is it went so long that I couldn't even enjoy the next beginning of the next scene. Like, they were clapping for so long that I couldn't even enjoy what was going on. It almost seemed like it had to be like performed live so that way the actors can take a moment to let it breathe. Because, like, the scene where they played out the meme of S for Spider-Man and they all kind of point at each other, whatever else. When that happened, they weren't in costume. They ruined the meme. They weren't.
They fucking ruined the meme.
And when they did that, 30 seconds later, I still couldn't hear what was happening in that scene. Like, I just had no idea what was going on.
And that's part of the reason why I hate it. Another reason is like, let's act like we have some control over our emotions. Like, there's movie theater etiquette. You know what I'm saying? Let's all act like we've been here before. Let's try to show some respect for other viewers. You know, I want to say somebody... A friend of the show shared an article that was like pro clapping, like after the movie. And I had to fight my fingers from typing in like a you fucking plebes and your fucking bullshit. Kind of like I almost went full grumpy old man on him. And I just, like, guys, it's a movie. Like, the people that you're cheering for can't hear you.
And I do understand, like, people wanting to be a part of, like, the whole community aspect of everybody cheering together. Like, I understand that. But, man, you got to do it in at least a slightly controlled way. The way it went, I did go grumpy old man, and which, good thing I have, like, 3 Twitter followers, right? Because I literally left the movie, was angry, and I was checking Twitter for something else, and then I went off on a one tweet, whatever thing that just pretty much said something to the effect of, if you're the people who are clapping so loud that I can't hear the words of the next scene, your friends and family are embarrassed for you. Nobody loves you.
I want to go find this tweet now. I need to go find this tweet. Well, like, part of me you know, we both love golf, and I've watched golf on TV, and it, you know, it reminds me of like the guy that, you know, when Tiger Woods drives, is like, yeah, Tiger! And it's just like that one dude, and it's like, if I was the dude standing next to that dude, I would smack you. Like, I would literally like turn and look at you like really, bro? Like, is this the highlight of your fucking life? You know, like going to a movie theater, and when you
But at least Tiger can hear him.
Just be entertained.
They have a chance that Tiger hears him and is like, oh, and gives him, you know, gives him the point, or gives him the wave and walking by. Like, you know, they have a chance of that happening. That there's no chance in the movie theater. Yeah, there's no chance.
It's still too much for me. I get it. Like, but that's the thing.
This one was worse than Endgame. This one was worse than Endgame.
Oh, for sure. And the I was going to say this too is the fact that, like, people left the theater saying this was like the greatest Marvel movie they made yet just shows like how easy it is to please like the fucking mouth drooling Marvel audience that is the masses of the, like, it's sad because you want to see these movies be successful, but if it hits a Billy, then you know you got nothing but mouth breathers in the fucking theater. Like, that's what you know. And you can throw any spit wad of fan service at the wall, and these motherfuckers are going to eat it up. There's no critical thought. There's no expectation of certain, like, levels of, you know, nods to the original work, to the comics, nods to, like, nope, just fucking throw some fucking Yas Queen pop culture line in there with a couple fucking TikTok dances and a fucking meme, and these fucking idiots are just going to eat it up and, like, greatest Marvel movie ever. No, it wasn't. It really wasn't. Wasn't even top five. Like, wasn't even the best Spider-Man movie, I don't even think. Like, like, it just... Yeah, it really, it's sad because now we're starting to really dump on it. It was a decent movie. Like, I did really it.
You're really going off on the movie now. I was saying it's a quality movie. It really is.
It was a quality movie. But was it the best fucking Marvel movie in the MCU? Like, and everyone was like, well, it was even better than Endgame. I was like, Endgame was shit. Like, I don't know why you're telling me this. Like, I give Endgame, a fuck.
Endgame was shit. When I was saying it was worse than Endgame, I was talking about the fan service and clapping.
Oh, for sure.
Like, there were so many more moments in this than in Endgame, which we chalked up to being mostly a fan service movie. I don't know. This is enough of a tangent. In the end, we liked Spider-Man.
Yeah, we approve. We approve.
All right.
Did you see The Matrix?
I didn't. So I actually went to go see it the other day.
It's on HBO Go and everything, or HBO.
I know. So I wanted to go see it in the theater. I went to go see it in the theater. I got my times mixed up. It wasn't playing when I went to the theater, so I just went and saw whatever was playing.
How do you get your times mixed up in 2022 for movie theaters? Are you still checking the paper? You call a movie phone, motherfucker?
Like, I did. I called movie phone.
Like, how do you get your fucking times mixed up?
I was only off by one little 20-minute segment or whatever else, and I didn't feel like sitting around for an extra 20 minutes. So I went and I saw The Kingsman instead.
Okay. How was that? I haven't seen that one yet.
I enjoyed it, and it went in a completely different direction than I thought it was going to go.
I'm a Kingsman fan. So, I'll play along.
Yeah, I enjoyed the first movie, and that's exactly what when I went to go see Matrix, I couldn't see it. Well, I could have waited to see it. I just didn't want to. And then I just thought, well, I could see The Matrix at home. I can't see Kingsman right now at home. I'm just going to go watch Kingsman. And I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good movie. It was just like the first one in the same kind of fight style, except this one's way more
serious. This is the third one, right?
Serious. No? Maybe? I don't know. This is a prequel to the other ones, and this one's it's just a much more seriously laid out one. It's not all like all action, all crazy fight scenes and stuff like the original. And then
a lot of crazy camera angles and shots and
yeah, they get to them, but it's slower paced than the original one. They actually like are developing the whole storyline of what's happened, how they turn into this secret society and all that stuff. So it's a bit slower paced at the beginning, but it does pick up, and it has plenty of turns and twists that some you'll see is coming, some that I definitely saw coming, and some that I didn't expect to happen.
All right. Yeah. I think I might still try to check it out before it leaves theaters. Well then I'll be the one to shit on The Matrix, which I really didn't want to do. You know, a little bit of full disclosure for me, in my time working as a bouncer at a downtown Chicago nightclub, I actually got many occasions to talk to Lana Wachowski and her group of friends, and they were like regulars at the nightclub. So I've had a few Matrix conversations with Lana prior to this fourth one even being, you know, a thought.
Yeah, a thing.
You know, and they're good people, and they really do care about the franchise. So to see what was put forth, I can't even say disappointed. I kind of seen what they were trying to do, and I almost felt bad that she was forced to kind of make this movie. That it was kind of a theme with the movie. They went really uber meta with it. And, you know, like Neo, the reason why Neo doesn't know about the machines again is because they kind of like rebooted the system. And Neo's a video game developer. In the first three Matrix movies were video games he made. So like, yeah, all of those memories you have of the Matrix, like, no, that's just you making the video game. And like the whole like thing to keep him down was like this very meta thing of like acknowledging the Matrix, but in a different like reference. And they even used lines in the movie of like, well, we're going to make this movie with you or without you, so you might as well make it with us, which is exactly what the movie company did to Lana. You know what I mean? Like, we're going to make a fourth Matrix, so you might as well make it with us because we're going to do it without you anyways. And like, they put that shit in the fucking movie. And I just, yeah, I don't know, man. It was just a little lackluster for me. I mean, they even acknowledge that, like, in order to make this movie good, we need a new bullet time fucking frame. Like, we need bullet time 2.0. And it's like, why are you saying the things I'm thinking in my head in the movie? Like, why are you constantly doing this? And it was very, like, just blatant like that. And it lost a lot of its pizzazz. Like, it just, you know, you figured that they would have to try to do something groundbreaking. They had to try to, and instead of like attempting to do those things, they just said, nah, fuck it, we're not even gonna try, and we're gonna make fun of ourselves for not even trying. And I just I don't know, man, I couldn't do it, you know. I really couldn't. Yeah, you know, it just, Keanu wasn't bad in it. It just, he was playing this like, he was playing Neo with Alzheimer's.
I was like, gonna say, he's back to playing like a dope again that doesn't understand everything. And
Neo with Alzheimer's, that like every time they try to get him out of the Matrix, he's like, this feels really familiar, you know? it's like, oh, come on, Neo. Come on.
God damn it.
You know, and no. I seen what happened. It wasn't a good movie. It wasn't like a horrible movie. It's worth, if you're a Matrix fan, which I was, you know, it's worth watching to just digest it. But I walked out of the movie feeling bad for Lana. Like, I just felt bad for her, and I was just like, ah, that's just shitty. Like,
yeah, that sucks. Yeah, I might have to watch it now on HBO Max just to see what you're talking about.
Yeah, I went to the theater. I supported it in the theater, especially if you get to watch it at home. Like, why not watch it? You know, like, you really don't have an excuse to not gain as much information to give a, you know, a solid opinion on it. Yeah, it was rough. Right. It hurt.
All right, well, that gets us caught up on the last, I don't know, month of movies or 3 weeks of movies. So let's talk quickly.
We took
about
a shitty break. Like, two big nerd movies came out right when we had our holiday break. I've been holding all that in movies for a while.
There's always nerd movies at the holiday time. So next 1 week, let's talk about ways that could ruin other things that we love. And that's with, apparently there's going to be a Goonies TV show coming into Disney Plus.
I don't know why, but I think if they did it right, it could be enjoyable.
They're not going to do it right.
They're not. No, they're not.
Yeah, you didn't read the article, did you? Let me explain to you the premise here. So the Goonies TV show is a substitute teacher who is in some, who has to move to some small town and take a job as a substitute teacher, and she is helping three students to recreate their favorite movie, which is the Goonies.
Oh.
There you go. There you go.
What?
Honestly, when I first saw the headline, what I was hoping for was almost like a Cobra Kai of the Goonies. Like, yeah. Give me the middle-aged Goonies. Yeah. give me the same actors. Give me the middle-aged Goonies going for another adventure.
Could see if they didn't go that way and they just got five new no-names that found you know, because like,
whatever,
to get Brolin again, to get Samwise, to get the whole gang back.
That's true. You're not getting those guys. Like, you know, maybe like the kids of those guys or something.
To get the guy who yells, you know, down the well, I'm sure he's not doing much. But you know, the homely chick with glasses, you could probably get her too.
Yeah, she's
but there's a couple big names still in there. They're gonna be hard to nail down.
That is true. That's the difference between Cobra Kai and that is they didn't do anything. None of those actors did anything.
Ralph Macchio has been waiting for this. But I figured they were just going to go, you know, like, imagine what you could do with a character named Data nowadays. Slick Shoes.
They still may have him do Garbage Slick Shoes and Inspector Gadget stuff.
Like, who knows what this dude's on? He could be on some crazy hacker shit. You know he's making NFTs. Like, it could have been some crazy NFT hunt for all I know. They could have done so many things better than a substitute teacher trying to make a goddamn iPhone version of the Goonies movie. What the fuck is that? That's what you up with in a meeting? Like, that's what you come up with in a meeting, Disney?
So just temper your enthusiasm here. It's going straight to the kids section on Disney Plus. It got turned down. They've made a pilot already for it, and they made it for Fox. And then once they got the pilot at Fox, it went to like COVID post-production time where everything got delayed. And then Fox got a hold of the pilot eventually and just said, yeah, no thanks. This is a little young for us. So it seems like it's definitely not even like prime time Fox television, which is in a high bar. So it's definitely going just to the kids section of Disney Plus.
Man, like, if they're not going to do it right, just kill it. Just don't don't even put the name on it and just let it die. Honestly, top three movies of my childhood, three will never get old to me. I've seen it hundreds of times. I'll watch that shit right now. I don't give a fuck.
Well.
Right now in the back of my head, and I can't shut it off, I can hear Cyndi Lauper, good enough. And I just can't get it out of my fucking head because we've been talking about Goonies for like 2 minutes and like it is playing in the background of my mind right now. I can't even fucking concentrate.
All right. Well, let's move on from this one. Let's see if we can get you heated up on another topic. Get this behind you. We got another delay on another movie for who the hell knows why. The Morbius movie is delayed another 3 months again. There's no way this movie's not ready.
There's no way it's not done. Why do you keep moving this fucking release date? It was coming up too in like a month. I'm like, all right, I finally get to see this. Like,
it was supposed to come out February 1st or first week of February, and now it's gotten pushed back to April 1st.
Does the comic book industry just hate Jared Leto or something? Do they just hate this dude? Like, I'm a Leto fan. Like, man, this dude just cannot catch a fucking break at all.
So, yeah, I haven't found anything that specifically states why it was delayed. Yeah,
no reshoots, no fucking, like... No.
Just delayed. So I guess we'll eventually see the movie, and I want to see it. Like, it does still find my attention a little bit. I can understand. I think it's going to be somewhat interesting.
What if like one of the main bad guys' his name was like Omicron, and they're just like, too soon. Sorry guys, we gotta push this one on down the road. Let that one die down a little bit. Sorry.
No. Who knows? But April 1st, that's when that comes out. But let's move on. Let's bridge the gap, I guess, between entertainment and then start moving into some tech here. And it's entertainment because the headline is Crypto Bros Wanna Buy Blockbuster. And ultimately, there is a DAO, a decentralized autonomous organization, for those who don't degen and pay very much attention into the crypto space. But DAOs are loosely formed legal entities. They're not recognized in all of the United States right now as formal like corporations or LLCs or whatever else.
It's the millennial version of venture capitalists.
Maybe it's I mean not quite, but they can raise money through a DAO, and then it has governance in a DAO where everybody who owns the tokens or owns the ownership of the DAO votes on all the decisions. It's decentralized in the way that like it doesn't have a traditional structure like a CEO or whatever else that makes all the decisions, or a board that makes all the decisions. The ownership and the voting rights belongs to the members of the DAO. So the DAO has started raising money to try to get to apparently $5 million is enough to buy Blockbuster from Dish Network. So they're raising the money to try to buy the rights to Blockbuster.
And if that's as low as it costs, like I'm really kind of like disappointed.
I'm super disappointed.
X Bitcoin holder didn't buy it now, but just to have it, like just to say own it, like
absolutely.
You pay more for a bored ape than you do for the entire corporation that had my childhood lit as fuck.
Oh yeah. Like, oh yeah. Absolutely. So
like kids will never know the disappointment of walking up to the wall of the new movie that you wanted to see that week and just nothing but cases, no discs.
It's all blanks behind it.
You're just looking at 50 to 100 fucking diehards on a shelf and there's no VHS behind it. You're just like,
I was going to say, you said discs at first. I was
they had DVDs at Blockbuster.
I mean, eventually, yeah. But I mean, it was always, you go to that wall and all you could see is all the images, but you know there's nothing behind it. it's too close to the wall.
Or the fucking fist in the air shaking that you do when you get that fucking VHS home and you open it up and that last motherfucker didn't rewind it. You weren't kind and you did not rewind, you dirty fucking bastard.
Or that sinking feeling when you knew you were supposed to return it and then that's still somewhere hidden 3 weeks later.
Oh, my car got broken into. All right. And so this is definitely like the aging pains of my generation. So my car got broken into when I was 16 and they took my 150 disc book of CDs straight out of my car, right? So I lost 150 fucking actual CDs. Like, this is before, like, all you kids out there, man, this is before Spotify. Like, you had to pay $15.99 for 14 fucking songs so you could listen
to get two that you liked.
So you could listen to them whenever you want. There was no streaming. There was no none of that bullshit. You had to have that disc. There wasn't even CD burners at the goddamn time. You either owned it or you didn't listen to that shit. All right. Besides losing 150 fucking CDs, the worst fucking part was that I had rented Mars Attacks that weekend. And they stole the fucking VHS. And that VHS cost me $98. $98. Because they stole Mars Attacks out of my fucking front seat before I could fucking return it. That fucking horrible movie cost me a goddamn Benji in like 96, bro. Like 97. You're talking about $100 in 97. That's like... It's like fucking $350 right now, easy.
Oh, I'm dying over here.
It was fucking like the pain that when they sent me the letter of like, yeah, you've never returned Mars Attacks. You owe fucking, Family Video. It wasn't even Blockbuster. I can't even remember. It was just some local one. They're like, you owe us $98. I was like, $98 for VHS? Are you fucking kidding me? This shit fucking hurt, man. Hurt. Gold. Like, man. Yeah, we old, y'all.
Well, now you can at least have the name revived or relived through a DAO, and they're trying to make it into a decentralized, no corporate ownership streaming platform.
See, but that's why I don't think it'll work, is because
it's not
every
work.
Other like if they'd have did this 5 years ago, maybe you could have got a Sony to jump on. You could have got, Paramount maybe to jump on before they open up their own. But now that they all have their own streaming services, who's going to give you their movies?
Well, maybe what they'll do is they'll just give them rights to like 100 of them. at a time. And then it's like the old Blockbuster experience when you go to the queue and like Netflix, when you click it, it's just going to flip over and say not available.
But isn't that and like, then, doesn't Redbox have their own version of that? And like,
oh, I have no like, idea.
I want to say other people are already like on that kind of shit. And like,
really?
I think they're just going to ride the Blockbuster name. I really just buy the name for $5 million and charge people $10 for old school laminated cards as nostalgia pieces, and I think you'll make your money back and then some.
We're going to talk about NFTs and stuff here in a minute, as I always have to when I do the show. But truth is, like, they could just turn it into, when they say the decentralized streaming platform, they could turn it. Yes, it's owned in a decentralized way through a DAO, but it also could be the streaming platform for decentralized content, like a lot of these NFTs, like a lot of these projects that are raising money to make their own animation series, to make their own movies, to like they're using NFTs to do that. Like Stoner Cats is an NFT that's owned by Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher, and they make animation series around these pot-smoking cats, right?
Well, like, they're already doing that. It would be cool if they were the people that tried to take down YouTube. You know, let independent content makers, not just like any asshole that wants to upload a video from their phone, but like actual, like if you have a TV show on YouTube that you produce yourself and that's the way you try to view it, they could open up Blockbuster, give creators a bigger cut than YouTube does per views, and create a kind of independent arm of entertainment where, like, hey man, you want to make a fan show of whatever? Like, you want to revive something at your house? You got an idea for a show, a talk show, whatever? Put it on Blockbuster. Like, I would like to see a competitive edge and to YouTube.
I could see that being, you know, that perfectly goes in the decentralized crypto bro mentality of a decentralized company that's owning a place for decentralized content producers and other degens to go and put their stuff, and then they can monetize it in some way and probably get paid in the token that's owned by the DAO.
YouTube has a big problem with demonetizing people for all kinds of fucking reasons. People are already starting to get fed up with YouTube censorship bullshit. Like, in comes Blockbuster. Like, we'll let you say and do whatever the fuck you want. We'll give you a bigger piece of the pie. Just give us your shit. Fuck a YouTube. And like, man, like I would like to see that happen. Like, if any of those crypto bros are listening right now, like, man, why don't we just buy some tokens? We could be part of the DAO.
I just hope that they name like the token that's associated with the DAO something like late fees or something iconic.
Tokens gotta be like Raisinets or something.
All right, but let's keep this train moving. We got a couple more topics here.
It's got to be Be Kind, BKND. It's gotta be. It's like, if it's not, I'm not buying. BKND, be kind.
All you got to do is go join this DAO, and then you become a vote. You've got a vote inside the decentralized organization.
I really got to help these guys out. I'd be doing them a favor. Yeah.
All right, let's keep moving a little more NFT talk. We'll call it. We've got in tech news, we've got apparently a groundbreaking new TV coming out from Samsung that is going to have NFT support and allow you to have verified, link your wallet, and display your NFTs as a scrolling screensaver or whatever you want to do on your TV, which this doesn't surprise me at all. Like, everybody wants a piece of this craze that is happening with NFTs right now. It does not surprise me.
That's why it's funny that they call it groundbreaking, because it's like, is it really, though? Like, we all knew this was eventually coming, and all you're doing is giving JPEG support. Like, I can do the same thing with a USB stick and pictures. Like whether or not you're actually putting up the blockchain-linked version of my NFT, or if I just take a screen, hit right-click my own NFT and put it on a USB and put it on my picture, like, the only way this really is groundbreaking and matters is if while it's on the television, they show like proof of ownership.
And that's what they're supposed to supposedly do, right? They are supposed to have a Web3 interface so you can connect your wallet, and then they will display what is on your wallet, and they can also display other people's NFTs that are on other lists. But just
like every fucking influencer that leans on a parked Ferrari and takes a picture with it and posts it on their Instagram as if it's their car, some asshole is just going to right-click a bunch of fucking bullshit and put it on a TV and fake it till they make it.
Oh, yeah. Like, that's... easy day. Like, it's still easy to get by. The same thing, you know, eventually Twitter is going to verify. They've said that they're working on having, you know, almost like check marks on your profile picture that profile picture is actually an NFT. If you have a Bored Ape as your avatar
and you don't even own, like, that Bored Ape.
Overnight, so many Bored Apes are going to disappear off of Twitter profile pictures. You know what I mean?
Like, I love it. 100%. I love it too.
Overnight, you're going to lose thousands of Bored Apes.
Yeah, my Dormant Dragon avatar is my shit. Fuck y'all. At me, motherfucker.
So it's whatever. It's interesting. It's obvious that companies are going to go this direction. Samsung's the first one to announce it.
This actually isn't the only Samsung article I wrote. I don't think I sent it to you, but while we were on break, I did read an article where Samsung's got a new OLED-ish screen coming out that is supposed to blow everything out of the fucking water. Like, TV quality-wise, Samsung is supposed to be changing the game. It's like QLED something, like it's better than it, and it's supposed to be cheaper, and just like, I read a whole article on it. I was like, this is something we should talk about, and we were just on vacation and I fucked up. But if you care enough, you can find that article, because I did read it. It's a thing that exists. But Samsung's trying to up the game for TVs, so we'll see what happens in the next go around.
Well, I'll pick one up in about 10 years.
Yeah,
Hey, I did buy a 4K TV this winter.
I got
a 4K TV in the house now. Look at me.
Well, in the house?
Yeah, in the house.
Okay, so the kids are watching it.
Yes. But still, I've upgraded.
Because this bum's still in the RV.
All right, and then we've got an article here about NFT theft, and man, if anybody listens to this and they're not into NFTs, just know, if you want to get in space, it's fun, it's fascinating, and it's so full of scams, and it's so easy to get scammed. It is the shittiest, nicest community you'll ever run into, is the NFT people.
You're either the coolest dude you met, or that Nigerian prince. You're one or the other. There's no in between.
It's wild how many scams exist in that space. And one that's been happening a lot, I brought this article up. So one guy who had many apes stolen from him. He had 15 different NFTs, total value of over $2 million
Those that don't know, to have many apes stolen from you, it's like a dude with a garage that has a McLaren, a Rolls, a fucking Ferrari, a Lamborghini, and a Tesla, and he just came home and all his cars were gone. They were all gone.
Yeah, 15 apes among other NFTs as well, but the 15 apes had a value of $2.2 million. And he had his entire account, and he said he got his account hacked. He lost all his apes and whatever else. Here's the thing. People who have 15 apes should know the space better and know what's going on. And what ends up happening, and how I've been seeing a lot of these happening, especially when we see these like huge dollar amount ones from these major blue chip projects that are getting stolen, is it's not being done because they sold it through like the primary exchange or whatever else. It's because they're working through like DMs to somebody to trade ETH for their ape or whatever else through back channels, because they don't want to pay the service fees and all that stuff and all the regulations and all the things by selling something for $250,000 on OpenSea or any NFT marketplace. So they're doing it outside of the marketplace to save themselves some percent. And then in the end, they send it to somebody, they sign a digital contract on through their wallet, and then their wallet's drained. And like, this dude who had 15 apes in one wallet that could all be drained together, be smart.
Spread your apes out.
Your apes should be in cold storage. They shouldn't be in your just cell phone MetaMask wallet that is all linked together. Like, it's fascinating how bad this individual's security is. I've heard several of these that have happened.
Who some of these people are? They're people like fucking Jake Paul, who are fucking YouTubers who buy a fake $3.5 million Pokemon card. He got scammed on a $3.5 million Pokemon card. You know, like they're just like there's so many of these young kids that are making so much money from doing absolutely nothing, like just the most mindless shit. So they just like I don't know, they say money earned is spent better than money given. Even their money earned is money given. Like their money earned is money given. You know, like if you made $5 million because you're making TikToks where you knock people's hats off and run away, and you take that fucking money and you buy Bored Apes and they get stolen, like, I don't feel bad for you. I don't. Like, I really don't. It's the cycle of life. You were a plebe to start. You should have never been Kardashian famous in the first place. And if you lose all your money because you bought JPEGs of apes and someone stole them, ha ha ha. You dirty motherfucker, go get a real job.
Oh. Hey, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. Over I mean, the truth is most of these people who own like multiple apes like this, they're people that were actually kind of smart in the space, and they bought a bunch early, like, or minted them. Most people minted them and probably sold them and regret selling them at some point in time. But the people who bought it when they were worth, you know, $70 bucks, yeah. and whatever else, and they were able to get so many. But no, it's like I said, what's interesting about this story is that it's just not unique. There's so many people on these big ones that are just trying to deal with people through DMs and then getting scammed instead of just going through the trusted marketplaces and stuff. And I understand, I don't have any NFT that it's worth 250 grand. So maybe I wouldn't want to take that 2% hit either.
Some people just got shit tons of money and just want to be cool. Like, I saw an article the other day where somebody said that one crypto wallet was buying up all the blue-haired Bored Apes. And I was like, why? Is there a blue-haired Bored Apes graph that I'm not privy to that shows blue-haired apes are on the green candle? Like, it's like, what the fuck are we talking about here?
it's a wild world, and I love being a part of it. we can talk after the show of all the things that I've bought recently. Yeah, let's move on from NFTs. Let's go through a couple more tech stories here as we round off this episode. First, it's a sad day for some, I guess. I don't know who the hell is still holding on to these things, but BlackBerry actually died. Finally, BlackBerry devices 6 days ago will no longer be usable on any network or anything. They're completely lost support and access to the networks.
See, I can't believe this article 15 minutes after we're talking about Blockbuster coming back. Like, I can't. I can't believe this in the same show where we did 15 minutes on Blockbuster. I can't. Like, it's like, I'm sure it's dead now. I'm sure it's dead now. But in 20 years, when some fucking shitty generation ups and comes now, when my daughter is running this fucking shit,
it's not even going to take that long. I literally saw an article today that BlackBerry is developing a 5G version of their keypad phones. So it's, your daughter doesn't even have to wait. Like, it's coming back already. But I'm just surprised that there were still people still updating their firmware and using their BlackBerry Curves or whatever they had.
It's the dude from Futurama with bonitis. That's who it was. It was the bonitis dude.
So that's wild, but as of January 4th, they're dead. So if that was you and you're listening to the show, sorry about your luck. Go buy the new 5G version. All right, and then let's keep rolling through some. We've got Snap, the company Snap, apparently has put in a trademark request. It was initially denied. They're appealing it to trademark the word spectacle because they are making their own augmented reality VR glasses for Snap, and they think that they have a claim to the word spectacle as a whole, and they could just trademark spectacle, and that's so great.
There's like, a chance they win. Again, this is my old ass, but it just reminds me of like how shitty these new generations are. Like, you think you could just take the word spectacle like from everyone? Like, that's a community word. Like you can't own that. Like, you can't take what people called glasses in 1890 and be like, that's mines now. It's fucking mines now, and we're gonna own it. You entitled shitheads. Like, you fucking.
Yeah. We got to just start trademarking all kinds of old timey words. I know. I'm going to trademark the motor car. I'm going to go trademark
the- Like, I'm going to put a patent on that bike with the big wheel in the front. Like, I'm just gonna fucking patent it again right now.
No, so they lost their initial claim for it because it was considered too generic of a word, mostly because it's too common of a word. But they're appealing it. They're stating that they have given use to the word spectacle now.
We're
going to
spell it in leet speak, so it's totally different.
Like, oh, you know that'll be next.
We're going to change all the S's to fives so that like it's ours now. Like, the audacity to even bring this up, like in a meeting, to be sitting there with a bunch of fucking they's and them's and fucking hats and just like everybody just, hey guys, we're gonna call this, you know, we're gonna call our thing new spectacles, and we're you know, I don't think anybody has a right to this. So I think we should definitely own this word. You're like, everybody calls them glasses now. So we totally should own this. Like, yeah, man. Yeah. Like, we definitely should buy it. Like, get over yourselves. Holy fuck.
Well, I found it ridiculous, which is why I made it to the outline. And and we can move on from it here. All right, we got a few stories in some autonomous systems that you know, I always find fascinating here on the show. We've got a fully autonomous tractor, the John Deere tractor, that will 100% tend to your fields without any human being. Completely not needed. And when I saw this, I thought we already had this. Like, yeah, I actually expected this to already be a thing.
I've seen videos of these already.
Yeah, and I think that this is just now it being commercially available. Because, like, yeah, driving circles in a field that it has a distinct pattern of the right way to do it.
I was going
to
say, like, bro, it's already – like, we have cars that go up hills and around corners and all kinds
and
of shit.
And don't hit human beings. Yeah, like actual, like, dynamic changes to the environment.
This just has to go down a grid. Like, if you had to, you could even lay down, like, magnetic wire that it could follow. Like, we could even totally low-tech this fucking shit if we needed to at this point.
Yeah. But we've definitely seen this, you know, they've been testing it for 3 years. So we have seen videos and articles about this in the past, but this is now, it's now becoming commercially available. The testing has been successful. They're looking at rolling it out. It can now operate, you know, realistically, this thing can operate all hours of the night. As long as you keep it fueled up or whatever else, then it can keep going, and it can plow or tend to over 300 acres every 24 hours. I don't know. It's a big win for farms, I guess.
I mean, you drive a little bit out of the city and it's nothing but cornfields out here, you know, and I've occasionally seen these guys out there working. So I started watching Yellowstone, and it gives this like grandiose picture of like what ranching is and like farming is now, like, still to this day, you're like, oh, that's still like a really hard labor job. But then I drive down, you know, on a nice road trip, and I look out, and I can't believe it's really like that life anymore. Like, you know, we got these giant fucking machines that do a lot of the goddamn work for everybody. Like, I think we need to land somewhere between the two. Like, like, there's, I don't think you're gonna get robots mucking stalls anytime soon. So I know there's still farmers out there doing shit, but let's not act like that John Deere work is that hard anymore. Like,
yeah, I don't know. I don't want to work on a farm, so I'll give it to them. That's fine. They can have those the glorification on the movies or whatever else that they're still out there.
Motherfucker,
as
last time
hands.
I came and visited you, you were living on a farm. Like, let's be fucking real here.
Oh, and I loved it. I just wasn't working. I wasn't working on the farm. There's a difference there. There's a difference.
Last time I seen you, you were the only human around me for like 50 miles. Okay.
That's different. That's different being in the RV living there, not tending the fields. All right. Let's talk over the last autonomous system here. We've got 3D printing for houses becoming apparently a way that Habitat for Humanity is moving forward. Like I've swung a hammer and done some work for Habitat for Humanity in the past, and I guess now they're testing it out in Virginia, doing 3D printed houses as these, you know, low income houses that they can sell to people as a nonprofit situation. And not a bad idea. It's the article says that it's saves them like 15% on a standard built house. And I think, really? It's going to save them more than that, right? Like,
well, you figure
there's a whole lot more skilled labor in it.
15% in materials.
That's what I think, because Habitat for Humanity's not paying for labor anyway. You know, they're minimally paying for labor, only certain trades.
But it does also have to cut down the amount of volunteers needed.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah. You know, honestly, if I was living in a Habitat house, I've seen some of these volunteers. My buddy does a concrete for Habitat, and
take the 3D printed one.
Yeah, take that 3D printed one, because there's not a lot of people that are out there doing volunteer work that know how to work a goddamn hammer or drill. So I'm gonna let y'all go ahead and take those. I do love the idea of people going out and building affordable houses for people. I build houses for a living. It's really hard for me to go do that shit for free. It's really hard to go out and do what I do every day to support my family and do it one day a week for free. I can't. Like I'd way rather go and do some other kind of volunteer work. I've done volunteer work in the past. None of it had to do with, not once did I need a tool in my goddamn van to do it. So for like other people, like, yeah, I totally see the satisfaction in using your hands and doing this. I think the 3D printing takes a lot of the liability away from volunteers. They can focus on more, you know, trim work and stuff that is more up their alley rather than framing. And, you know, like, I'm an electrician by trade. If you ain't a licensed electrician, I ain't touching that fucking house. Like, I don't know who they got splicing these wires together and running shit, but I'll be in there fixing something eventually. I guarantee you that.
All right, let's finish up with a little bit of space news here. And we've got, while we were gone on this break, we kept talking about the James Webb Telescope getting launched, getting delayed, having problems. We talked about the technology and how great the images are going to be coming from it. And then in that time off, we missed the launch of it, which took place on Christmas Day. We missed the first phase of them deploying their sun shields. And now they've deployed the full sun shields, and James Webb Space Telescope is fully operational, yeah, at this point.
I think a lot of times we need to take more hiatuses, because a lot of cool shit happens like the day after we record all the time. Like,
yeah.
All the time. A lot of cool shit happens. So this is just another cool one. Yeah. Like we joked around a lot about retiring the Hubble. This is the guy that's going to do it, man. Like, let's get him out there.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll start to see some fascinating images and learn more about the beginning of the universe soon. I don't know when that we're going to start getting public images or whatever else, but we'll get them soon enough. And then let's wrap up with one final story before we went on hiatus. There was the big mystery cube that was out in the distance on the moon that was captured by one of the Chinese rovers, and they were going to go out and hunt it and see if it was some kind of alien structure or something else, because it was too geometric of a shape to be natural.
This is so disappointing.
It was natural. And not only was it natural, only was it just a rock.
It's like a rock.
But you gotta remember, when we first talked about it, like, it was estimated that it was gonna take them like 2 months to get out to that cube because of how far away it was. And then it ended up being they planned a mission. They planned a mission to go out there, plan it all out, whatever else. They went 80 meters, and then they were like, oh, no, it's clearly a rock.
Which blows my mind, because, like, these are the people that pinpoint down distances to the fucking, you know, thousandth fucking millimeter. Like, they can figure out trajectories of all kinds. But this fucking rock, they were off. Like, you're off on how far this rock is away, and if it's even a fucking cube or not. Like, how do you fuck this one up, man? How do you fuck this one up?
You're only as good as your tools. And their tools, the cameras that they had, didn't have the fidelity to figure it out, I guess, and tell them. So, in the end, It's a whole lot of nothing.
Like fidelity, really? Like, we're taking pictures of black holes light years away, and we're pinpointing, like, exact diameters and all kinds of shit with fuzzy fucking pictures. How many fucking NASA fuzzy pictures have you seen? And they're like, we've extrapolated all this fucking data from it, and we're looking at it like, looks like two fuzzy fucking eyeballs. Looks like two fuzzy fucking eyeballs. They're like, no, it's two black holes colliding. Can't you see, like, see this little fuzzy spot right here? We're going to circle this little fuzzy spot right here. Doesn't mean shit to you because you can't tell anything, but we can definitely tell that all this fucking information is going on in that little fuzzy thing. But we get a picture of a fucking rock 80 meters away and we have no fucking clue what it is from these guys. These guys, we're not expecting more from these assholes.
I feel like this went exactly as we thought it was going to. So I'm not all fired up about this. Initially, when we saw it, we said, it's just going to be a rock. That's all it's going to be. So hire me, NASA.
I'm disappointed on the amount of days they expected to figure this out. And they drove a football field and were like, oh, shit. It's a rock. Like,
I mean,
like, it's gonna take us 4 days to get there. Like, no, motherfucker, you hold forward on the joystick for a fucking hour.
We could just put on our we could just throw on our tinfoil hats right now and just say that the Chinese actually found something and they're just saying it's a rock.
Well, from the jump off, I thought it was a Chinese goddamn circus tent doing God only knows what underneath there.
Well, the Chinese are the one who saw it, so they wouldn't publicly release their own circus tent. So that didn't make sense.
I'm just disappointed in the calculations. I'm just disappointed that it was that easily. Like, they made it seem like, hey, we got to really send a team out here to figure this fucking thing out. Like, and then they go 80 meters. And they're just like, oh, shit. Like it's the equivalent of, like, some scientists squeegeeing off the telescope lens and be like, oh, that's not a comet. Like, what the fuck? We thought this fucking big rock was going to crash into Earth, and all this dude had to do was wipe the bug off the screen. Like, that's what it feels like to me.
Well, that's a week in nerd news. That's a month in nerd news. I don't know how long we've been out. That's our recap episode from our previous hiatus into another hiatus. Yeah. And we'll get caught up
2022. We'll be back.
We'll be back. With shares into the Blockbuster Dow, and we'll see how things go. But
I'm buying up all the Be Kinds and hodl them.
As always, just share this with somebody else. Just join us over in the community. Again, we're going to be taking a little time off still, so the episodes are going to be sporadic for a little bit. But we will get caught up. We'll be back on a normal schedule. Just follow us over in the community. Keep participating in some conversations over there, and. Well, Nerd Cantina lives on.
I'll see you next week, or see you in, next time.
Until next time, nerds.
See ya.